C7. Number 10A.
Now, let's consider what is the opposite sense of oneness here. And naturally, we can feel what it means. Namely, animal magnetism says what? Animal magnetism says, I am a power of my own. There is another power at work than God, good. There is another source of power than God, good. That's the claim of animal magnetism. Therefore, there is another standpoint from which I can operate. There is a personal I sense, a personal will, a personal consciousness, which is able to manifest something from which to work, from which to operate, from which I can influence anybody. I can influence through my willpower, through my thinking. I can influence a situation. There is power in thinking. There is a power in thinking. Not all power is in the divine mind. There is also a power in mortal thought. And so we have either as a dualistic sense that there is another source than the divine mind, or that there are two powers at work. That's usually the belief of most people. It's not so that people think there is only an evil power at work, but they feel there are two powers at work. The moment you have that, you have really pinpointed the dualistic sense of this Christ as the Word. That there is Christ and Antichrist. The Christ has come and the Antichrist is coming. This is the sense that people have. Somehow the world will fall into pieces because of the Antichrist that is coming, though the Christ has come 2,000 years ago. It's the belief of duality of Christ and Antichrist. Therefore, of two powers at work, therefore that power is dualistic, that power is good and evil. You see, that's another kind of how to express the dualistic sense of the Christ as the Word, that innate in power is good and evil. There is an evil power, a good power. We can use power any way we like. That's a problem we have in natural science, that we have the atomic power. The atomic power per se is neutral. It depends, do we use it for good, do we use it for evil? And so it's the power is shifted into the decision of people and no more innate in power. And so you can see there are so many different aspects, dualistic aspects on the same problem, namely power. So as a dualistic sense, perhaps we could write here that well, as I have stated, there are many dualistic sense, but perhaps we can say God manifests good and evil. God manifests good and evil. Again, just always remember when you go over these epitomes that they are just a selection, so to say, of many different aspects, and that it is up to the student, again, to think out all the implication of such a epitome. An epitome can only give the, would you say, the core of something, the nucleus of something, and not just everything. That's the purpose of a epitome. Now, we have always tried to prove our hypotheses or of our findings through the biblical note of a chapter. So let's take the scriptural note that is at the beginning of the chapter and which is quite interesting. It says that, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. I like that epitome very much in regard to animal magnetism because it brings out so clearly that really the pith of the whole question is not, are thoughts good or evil? The pith is not, is murder and adultery and fornication and thefts and so on good or evil per se? They are, so to say, only the spin-off of something else, of the root of them, and therefore we always should really go back to the root and see where they come. You see, mostly we say that some evil manifestation comes from evil thoughts. We trace evil back to evil thoughts. But here in the scriptural notes, they don't reduce it back to evil thoughts. Evil thoughts is just one of the manifestations. It traces it back out of the heart. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Out of the heart is a much deeper belief or claim that has to be met. It's there, really, where we have to start correcting the whole proposition of evil and of animal magnetism. It's really coming out of a belief, out of a supposition that there is a other cause than God which brings forth evil thoughts and murders and so on and so on and so on and so on, namely that we can see deep down is just the belief that there is another cause than God. That there is a heart, and the heart naturally at that time, we have to translate it back to the biblical time, where they felt that in the heart was lying really the core of our whole being, whereas today we think everything depends on the brain, and in the brain is stored up all the data of our being. At that time, everything was in the heart, and I think some thousand years before, everything was somewhere in the stomach. The stomach was the center, and which is quite understandable, you know. When something goes wrong, the first thing you feel that your stomach doesn't work rightly. And so they felt everything apparently had its origin in the stomach, and then afterwards in the heart, and afterwards they feel the origin is in the brain. So here we have the great proposition that actually we can see that evil, whatever is called evil, is a belief that there is another starting point than God, that it starts with us, with a personal I, with a personal sense, with a sense that we are God, that we are something and can produce all the things of evil. The question of evil is an interesting question. It's a question that every Christian scientist, practically every thinker in the world is investigating. And I think nobody has really found an answer, a satisfactory answer to the question of evil, especially when it comes to the point, where does evil come from? And I think you know it from your own development that this question comes up from time to time. It comes up right at the beginning of the study in Christian Science that somehow one is taught that evil is nothing, and the next question is, but why am I aware of evil? And therefore the question of evil comes up in spite of the statement that there is no evil. And this is a good thing that comes up, because a statement that there is no evil is just not enough. And so each one takes up that question and says, now what is evil? And then usually he's satisfied with an answer, whatever that answer is, that it says, you know, it's only a belief, it has no reality, it's just belief. And he says, oh, I see, yes, all right. And then he's satisfied perhaps for a year or 2 years, and suddenly the question comes up again. And it usually comes up again with a deeper question, with a more searching question. And one has given to oneself all kinds of answers that seem to be satisfactory for a moment until later on one felt, no, that's not satisfactory. And is it satisfactory today, the way we answer it? This is still another question mark. If I try to trace the main answers, they may be, perhaps be like this. The answers that are given in the course of development, that first perhaps one feels, yes, well, evil is not a reality, therefore it's just a belief. So it does not exist in reality, and one feels, oh, that's fine. So good is real, and evil is anyway not real, it's unreal. And one is perhaps happy about it. Then later on, perhaps one feels, oh, but if evil is unreal, why am I aware of it? If it's not real, why am I aware of it? Apparently, the fact that I'm aware of it means that it is something. So thought starts all over again on another deeper level and says, and perhaps gets the answer, well, you know, it only seems to be because it is a lie, and that lie is only a suppositional lie. It is not a lie that is given, it's only a suppositional lie. So you have a double negative there, and it enforces again the thought, oh yes, so actually evil is nothing to be considered, it's just suppositional lie. This is an answer that Mrs. Eddy gives in Animal Magnetism. She says evil is a suppositional lie. It's not just a lie. Not even the lie is real. Even that lie, which is a negative, is only suppositional. And so one feels for a while, oh, now I'm quite happy about it. But we know, after a while, we just feel, well, why should there be a supposition if everything is fact and truth? And you come back to the question of truth. Why should there be a supposition? And so perhaps the answer is and say, you know, that supposition just isn't in being. It's just you who make that supposition. It all depends just on you. If you entertain a belief called a supposition, that's your funeral, huh? So to say. If you make up a belief which does not exist in reality. So one says, oh yes, golly, apparently I am to be blamed. Out of my heart really come forth all evil thought. And so that's a step further, that one thinks, oh, I have to be careful what I make up, that I shouldn't make up beliefs. And one is then perhaps satisfied with that answer for a while. Actually, this is an answer that Mrs. Eddy has given in various statements that we have now in Collectania, and they are quite good in a way that they help us to get nearer and nearer to the answer. She says in Collectania, she says, animal magnetism is the sum total of error. Okay, it's the sum total of error, it's error. And that in itself, nothing. So you get a step further and say that sum total of error is a nothing. And then she makes an addition and says, is in itself nothing until you attach belief to it. And so one feels, oh, that is it. From where does animal magnetism come? It comes out of our heart, out of our ability, apparently, to attach belief to a belief. If evil is a belief, it has only really something if I believe in the belief, if I attach something to the belief. So this is already quite satisfactory, again, for many people and for a certain stage of development that we really see. Actually, I think I can handle animal magnetism when I begin to realize that I should not make animal magnetism. I'm making animal magnetism by attaching belief to a belief, by attaching qualities and attributes to something that does not exist. Evil does not exist, but I'm going to give to that which is not a somethingness. That's animal magnetism. So animal magnetism can be handled from that point already quite efficiently when we see animal magnetism or evil does not exist per se. When it seems to exist, it is only because I make it exist. I make it exist how? By giving to something which is not a reality, making a reality of an unreality. And that is quite efficient, because then one feels I'm to be blamed about everything. If something seems to be of the nature of animal magnetism, I can't blame anybody outside of myself. This is a great step forward, that we don't feel that animal magnetism is a belief and an unreality and a suppositional lie and etc., etc., outside of me. We still would somehow feel, how can they say a lie when there is no truth about it? How is it possible? How? And we always somehow accuse something or somebody outside of ourselves. Whereas we should see, the only thing that can give anything to a belief is what we attribute to that belief. Quite efficient as a method of handling it. Or, she says in another page, also in Collectania, she says, the only power there is in mesmerism is what we allow it to have. It's another rendering, bringing out more or less the same thing, that the only power there is in mesmerism or in animal magnetism is really only the power which we allow it to have. So we allow something to have power. We allow an error to have power. We allow an enemy to have power. We allow an opponent to have power. We allow the weather to have power. We allow the politics to have power. We allow anything to have power. It's we that give power to animal magnetism. It's not something outside of it, of our consciousness, that has power per se. So, actually, handling animal magnetism would at this point mean not to start to use animal magnetism. We use animal magnetism, and we shouldn't start out beginning to use animal magnetism. And we can see how we therefore are investigating first ourselves, what is in our consciousness, and that the whole animal magnetism is in our consciousness and nowhere else. And this is quite relieving, because then one has the feeling, I now know how to handle it. I'm now no more just a cork on the waves in the ocean that is thrown to and fro by a terrific power, and I can't do anything against it. The cork can't do anything against these terrific waves. But now one has a feeling, I'm not thrown to and fro by something outside of myself. I throw myself to and fro. And the moment I have it in my hands, then naturally I feel I can also correct it. So there is no animal magnetism unless we use it. And even that which we use is only in the realm of mortal mind, never in the realm of reality. You know, it's interesting. We have a very strong belief that if I entertain wrong thoughts, that if I speak wrong thoughts, that if I believe in wrong thoughts, in wrong concepts, that they make me sick. So, usually in the practice, when the problem arises and patient comes to the practitioner and relates all that has gone wrong, the practitioner says, now we have to see where you were thinking wrongly. And so we put your thinking straight again. So, thoughts have power, have they? They haven't power at all. It's only our belief in thoughts that thoughts have power, gives them power. Only our belief. Because if you teach a parrot to say from morning to night, I am sick, I am sick, I am sick, I am sick, he never gets sick. Because he doesn't believe in it. He just states and states, he makes wrong statement from morning to night, but he doesn't believe in it. So he doesn't get sick. So wrong statements, whatever those statements are that are being made around about us, all the wrong statements, the wrong misconceptions that they are put forward and are stated about us, they haven't not the slightest power in themselves. They have only power when we believe that they have power. But the statement by per se have no power. And you know how people are really afraid of the thoughts of the surrounding. How people around the patient say, a patient who lies in the bed, and they think, yes, perhaps we could help that patient with our good thoughts, but the whole family around it, they don't believe in Christian Science, but the whole family is full of fear and of fearful thought, and the doctor around it, he is fearful and his thoughts influence him. Well, they don't do a thing. A statement, a concept doesn't do a thing. Has no power. They have only power if we believe that wrong thoughts have power. Only then wrong thoughts have power. If we believe they have. So, let's be clear that erroneous statements are absolutely neutral. I mean, they are neutral in the way that they have no Christ and no Antichrist. The only Antichrist there is our belief that the wrong statement brings forth a wrong result. Well, the whole question of animal magnetism and what animal magnetism is naturally going much deeper than that, you see. Even the answer that animal magnetism has only as much power as we allow it to have still doesn't answer the whole question of evil. It still says, well, then you admit that your admittance has power, that your belief in a belief still has power. You see, you haven't, one actually hasn't answered it yet. And you can follow up that further down, you know, again coming from effect to cause, and see that cause is still effect of a further cause. And you can go back and back and back. You will never find an answer. So apparently the answer must be on another, be thought on another line. So sometimes the new line comes in and says, well, you know, the whole question, is there evil and what is evil, is already wrong. It's a wrong question. So you put it down to a wrong question and say a wrong question never finds an answer. And you go still deeper, so to say, in answering the question of animal magnetism. And it's quite a satisfactory answer again, though it isn't the final answer yet. But it's a good thing to say, how can I know anything about evil and why evil is nothing and why evil has no power if the question already is wrong? How can I answer a wrong question? How can I answer why is the earth flat? I can think out any old answer. It never really is true, because the earth is not flat, so the question, why is the earth flat, is just the wrong question. And so that helps again, and say, well, the whole question, is there evil and has evil power, is just the wrong question, because evil per se does not exist. Therefore, any question you put in regard to evil is anyway wrong and should not be asked. Until somebody comes up and says, why do you ask a wrong question? Can you see? It's just one long line, and each time you just get a little bit nearer, until you finally come to divine science and say, the question of evil cannot be answered until you take the standpoint of oneness. If you take the standpoint of oneness, you will not even ask a question about evil. Therefore, actually, the only answer we have is, at the present moment, to take the standpoint of divine science, where consciousness is so full of the oneness of being that not even a question, not even a motion comes in which would say, what is evil, where does evil come from? The term evil disappears. And so, Mrs. Eddy puts it perhaps in this way, that the whole question of evil can only be answered by what is called demonstration. Not by demonstrating that there is no evil, but by demonstrating the oneness of being, wherein not even the question rises up again. Because in the oneness of being, the one mind only knows its own ideas, and therefore there is no possibility that thought can be turned into another channel, can drop away from the standpoint of the one mind, and therefore ask another question. So there is another answer that we get here when we consider animal magnetism from the standpoint of oneness.